It is now time for our featured segment, ladies and gentlemen. It is called Mic Check. It is Black History Month. It is also Reggae Month, the month that has been set aside to celebrate reggae music. I think Reggae Month was first started in the year 2010. And in celebration of Reggae Month, ladies and gentlemen, we are pleased to have with us as we celebrate the reggae music, one of the synergies of five. They call it five, but I'm going to say it's six. It was five men and one woman, Anthony Turner, one of the synergy of five, and a founding member of the biggest reggae festival in the history of the world of reggae music, Reggae Sons Plash. One of the founding member, Anthony Turner, is our featured guest. Go ahead and introduce the guest.
Well, Ras Clem, as you said, as we celebrate Reggae and Black History Month, we are privileged and honored to recognize one of the icons of the music industry. We're talking about Mr. Ronald Stafford Burke, OD, almost two decades. We're talking about from 1978 to 1996. The music festival that he helped to create, Reggae Sons Plash, was a staple on the Jamaican and international music calendar. Mm-hmm. The synergy of the five key players, Tony Johnson, Don Green, John Wakelin, Ed Barclay, and Mr. Burke, well, they produced the festival to showcase our music and culture. In fact, Reggae Sons Plash started in Montego Bay at Jarrett Park. The year was 1978 with seven days of reggae performances. And this was long before Reggae Sumfest was started. Billed as the biggest reggae festival in the history of the world, music lovers from across the world flocked to Jamaica to see their favorite stars and enjoy the warm breezes of the Caribbean Sea. And over the years, the festival featured performances by reggae A-list acts like the Honorable Robert Nesta Marley, Crown Prince of Reggae Dennis Emmanuel Brown, Black Uhuru, Sugar Miner, Ika Mouse, and a cast of others. And audio and video recordings of the festival were packaged and distributed across the world with close to 15 live albums recorded at the musical celebration. And in 2015, Ronnie Burke, the Jamaica College old boy, well, he received a national honor, the Order of Distinction, Jamaica's sixth highest honor, this for his contribution to the development of Jamaica's popular music. So we welcome to Groovin' Radio, Mr. Ronald Burke, OD, this Saturday morning.
Good morning, Ronnie Burke. How are you?
Good morning. I only get a little kick when I hear Ronald stuff. I just want to make a quick correction. Mark, he was not an original member of the Synergy team. In fact, Maxine Walters was.
Okay, so...
So I just want to make that little correction there.
Well, I have...
So, my brother...
Yes, sir. Yeah, man, as we welcome you, Ronnie, how is Jamaica this morning? How are you doing this morning?
Boy, Jamaica is beautiful this morning, I tell you. In particular where I live, you know, which is up in the hills of St. Andrew, with a nice little river running through my front lawn.
It is.
And it's peaceful, it's beautiful, you know? Jamaica is, Kingston is good and bad, as you know.
Yeah.
We have some dark sides. We have some better sides too, you know.
Indeed. And we're gonna talk about some of the better sides in Ronnie. But take us back, walk us back to your best knowledge, your best memory. What was it like back then when the Synergy of Five came together? And yes, we must say that Miss Maxine Walters was a part of the original team that created, and it was built as the largest reggae festival in the world.
In the history of the world.
Reggae Sunsplash. What was it like back then, you and the team, pulling this together, Ronnie Burke? Talk to us about
Well, we give credit to our managing director, Tony Johnson. The thing is, Tony lived in America, in Los Angeles, for about 17 years. Yeah. Don Green, good friend of his, lived in New York for 10 years, and these guys came home. In the meantime, I had shifted my profession. You know, I used to buy life insurance when I jumped into the music business with a schoolmate of mine and a good friend called Mike Johnson, and we formed a company called Micron Music. And we concentrated 100% on Jamaican product, you know? So when these guys came in from the States, they were amazed that they couldn't find any reggae concerts. I mean, and Tony kind of took it out of me and said, how can you be in this business? Don't you Jamaicans understand the impact of this music across the world? You don't seem to. You mean, you just kind of take it for granted and keep it locked up in here. But I can tell you that in Los Angeles, any Friday and Saturday night, I can find a reggae concert.
Right.
So what's happening here, you know? I think you don't understand that this is a product that can bring people from other, from North America, from the UK,
all
to
over
Jamaica. Right. So an opportunity came up through the good work of Burl Francis, who worked with Peter Martin Associates. And Peter Martin Associates was the PR company for the Jamaica Tourist Board. And Burl was tasked with the, was given the task of bringing to Jamaica, bringing to the North Coast, summer tourism, which did not exist. Jamaica was a winter destination. But it was locked up in the summer, refurbished, laid off, etc. And they wanted to see if they couldn't follow the example of Nassau and develop a summer program. So they concentrated now on a youth market. And they said, okay, we're going to give discounted airfares, discounted hotel rates for 2,000 young people. And so that was Burl's project, Peter Martin and Burl. So they said then, well, how, what are we going to do when the kids come here? How are we going to entertain them, you know? And ideas sprung around. And Tony, being a good friend of Burl, was in the perfect position for Burl to say to Tony, Tony, how can we entertain these young people for a week, you know? And that's what, that's all Tony needed, you know? And he called Don and John Wakelin, who was my, perhaps my best friend of the day, and also in the broadcast business. And so we got together and we said, look, we need to design a program. The government is willing to pay us per head for what they bring in. So they projected 2,000 kids, and therefore Synergy was looking at. We formed a company called Synergy. And Synergy was to get like $70 a head to provide a 1 week of entertainment. So, you know, let me tell you something. We never were businessmen. We never went into the business with profit in mind. We were more interested in showing and demonstrating to our government and our people and the world the power of
reggae.
What Jimmy Cliff and Bob Marley and those had, the doors that those guys had opened, which we didn't really seem to appreciate the impact that it was having.
Right.
And so we went ahead headlong into a very elaborate program, you know. We had two beach parties, we had a jazz night, we had five nights of reggae, and so, and we put all of our resources into it in the anticipation of the government's promise of $70 per head.
For 2,000, for 2,000, yes, yes.
And then in midstream, the government came back and said, look, I think we were to concentrate on 1,000. 2,000 doesn't look likely. So it's like, you know, it's like you're swimming behind a boat and it's taking, it's leaving you, you know.
Right, right.
So we said, okay, we adjusted our program. We said, okay, so we'd have to live with ourselves, not until we have to kind of tweak our things a bit and went ahead. But you know what? They wouldn't sign anything. They wouldn't sign any guarantee or any promise of what they would deliver.
So this was just talk. And this was just talk then.
It turned out to be talk, because what they delivered was 23.
Wow.
As in 2-3.
Wow.
So here were we, you know, stretched out, artist deposits out there. Mm-hmm. We got gone to our bank, we had mortgaged our cars and everything we could find. Because, you know, we never had the money.
Hold on, Ronnie. Hold on, Ronnie Burke. So you want to tell me that the government went from 2,000, promising 2,000 bodies, and they went down to 1,000, and they were only able to deliver 23?
Absolutely.
So where did this leave Synergy now? Where did, because now you guys have gone knee deep into this now. This is Reggae Sunsplash.
Yes. Let me tell you what saved Reggae Sunsplash.
Mm-hmm.
Our Jamaican artists and musicians.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because when we went out to negotiate and book artists, you know,
mm-hmm.
they got the vision immediately, long before anybody. They saw where this could go. Because, you know, these guys had been filling clubs and they had been doing stints in London. And
mm-hmm.
so they knew the audience was really there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so they cooperated a lot with us, you know? Fees were really minimal. And we could get by with small deposits. And they worked with us. Otherwise, it could not have happened.
Wow. Wow. So you launched this big reggae festival, Reggae Sunsplash. The government didn't sign anything. Did you guys get any real sponsors then? If the government didn't sign anything, did you guys get any kind of sponsorship?
We never got any sponsorship other than 40 cases of Red Stripe there from then on, Geddes. Which, let me tell you what happened with that 40 cases. They delivered it
to
Jared Park. We had no infrastructure at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, they left it on the field
mm-hmm.
and they drove out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had 3 guys to watch it overnight. And the next morning we found them sprawled out.
Were they drunk?
Totally wiped out. And so was a lot of the stock. So
wow.
So much for sponsorship in the first year.
Wow.
Because let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what overshadowed all that was, all our vision. Let me tell you what overshadowed it. Jamaica had a bias against ganja
mm-hmm.
and Rastafari.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
And so the would-be sponsors, mm-hmm. the big boys, saw us as a ghetto movement, to speak. I mean, let's...
Mm.
Not in such harsh terms, but
right.
really, not where they thought their clientele
should be.
Should be, right? Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't support us. So, but we went ahead. And, you know, we delivered everything that was promised.
Wow.
We delivered it at great cost.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can remember sitting in the Seaven Hotel and getting a long phone call from our bank manager in Kingston. And he said to us, I have about 26 checks here to bounce. Let me read them off to you.
Wow.
And the first one he started it was Seaweed, where we were staying.
Hold on. So where the team was staying, the check bounced?
the man had the check in his hand. With the stamp in the other hand, you know? But, you know, I have to give him a lot of credit.
Mm-hmm.
He leaned back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was... They leaned back and he helped. You know, he was a schoolmate of mine anyway, but he really did all that he could, you know. But we lost, Tony lost his vehicle. Don's vehicle was seized and put in the bank compound for over a year. We had to really demonstrate what Synergy meant by huddling together. Don and Tony shared a house. You know, we just really struggling.
Right.
You know, we had some great help from Cindy Breakspear, who gave us a nice check, and another friend named Joshua Thomas, who gave us an even bigger check. Just Just in support of what
you guys were doing.
The idea was.
Right, right. Ronnie, hold your thoughts there. Hold your thoughts there. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Mr. Ronnie Burke, one of the synergies of five who founded the greatest and the largest reggae festival in the history of the world, Reggae Sound Splash. Think about this now. You guys started out with no sponsorship. You got 40 cases of Red Stripe beer, which was delivered to Jared Park. And you had three men watching the 40 cases of beer, only to come back the next day to find three drunken men sleeping. But, Ronnie, call a spade a spade, do you know? Call a spade a spade. The government of Jamaica didn't understand or loved reggae music. They didn't understand or love Rastafari. So, and I'm going to say it. You don't have to say it, but yes, they thought that this was a ghetto splash. They thought that this was a splash that they should not get involved with. But if you look at reggae music, if you look at marijuana, and if you look at Rastafari, those are three of the things that Jamaica, three things that Jamaica export, huh? And those are three things that people come to Jamaica for, huh? Think about it, Ronnie Burke. Hmm?
Yes, you know, I mean, of course, you do have the sun and sand, people who will stay in their, you know, restricted and safe area, but I mean, there's something that's amazing to us. You know, you hear about Kingston is desperately violent and murders, and you have to get. And when you go downtown, you find Japanese with backpacks walking, feel up and down the ghetto.
Indeed.
Cool as anything, you know?
It's just,
you have to understand what Jamaica really is. You know, of course, we have a side of gangs that, well, I'm killing off each other. But by and large, we travel safe up and down our streets, you know?
Indeed.
The thing about it is that what binds us is our music. Between our athletics and our musical culture, that's what binds and makes us Jamaicans. It's our reggae music, you know? We tried to show this to them,
right?
You know,
and they couldn't get it. So now, you had Maxine Walters, the talented Maxine Walters, as a part of your team. What did Maxine have to say after the first Reggae Sound Splash, when in a losing a shirt and everything else?
Well, Maxine, until now, today, always been supportive. She helped us as much as she could, because Maxine has quite a lucrative career in her PR and her she does very well at what she does. And Maxine stood by us the whole way. Cindy was Miss World at the time, and she gave us this lovely check, you know. It's just, and what really flipped the coin though was at Micron, we sold Bob Marley's Not a Dead album.
Right.
In fact, we created an untouchable record of sales for Not a Dead. You know, so I knew Bob, and I had every now and again have to go up to 56 and deal with the business side. So after Sunsplash, one day I was walking through and he was there under a tree strumming his guitar, and he said, "Come here, Mr. Man, I want to talk to you." So I went up and he said, "Look, I saw your poster that say you have the biggest reggae festival in the history of the world, and that is a lie." I said, "Mr. Marley, why is that a lie?" He said, "Because I am not an it."
Wow. Wow.
I said, "Bob, let me tell you something. You're the first artist I tried to book. I went to Don Taylor and he turned me down flat." So when you tell Mr. Taylor, send me say, "I am doing Reggae Sound Splash."
Wow.
I tell you what, I'll do it. I'll do it for $10,000.
Wow.
I said, "Whoa." So I went to Mr. Taylor and I said, "Your artist say, Reggae Sound Splash for $10,000. He said, "No, it can't work. That can't work." And he ran down to Bob and he came back. He said, "It's got to be 15. I said, "Okay. 15? We'll take it." And let me tell you, my friend, when we, in an even limping, announced Sunsplash 2, because most people believe it couldn't happen again. And I have to give some special credit to some individuals that is a Jamaica tourist. You know, there are people like Peter Flawler, the late Peter Flawler. There was Mrs. Gloudon, who stood by her friend Devon, and it was wilting.
You mean Barbara Gloudon?
Yes, man.
Wow.
Strong. Mm-hmm. She was strong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Peter King. Yeah, Murray Deeble. Strong people inside in Jamaica tourist board. Huh? Noel Mignot.
Mm-hmm.
Because let me tell you something. You had certain people who ran Jamaica tourist board offices in North America, refused to distribute our flyers.
Wow.
That's the kind of prejudice that the thing was up against. But bless those like a Flalo and those who did, you know?
You know, so, Ronnie, we come a long way because this was only the 70s. Just the other day, you know, this was just the other day. A whole Jamaica would turn their back on one of the most impactful music the world has ever seen. Reggae music.
No, hey, look, it was, in our face, and let me tell you something. When we did the first Sunsplash,
mm-hmm.
the biggest rent-a-car company in the island was Hertz.
Mm-hmm.
Hertz grounded their fleet in Montego Bay. They did not want our type of people driving their cars, and they grounded the entire fleet. Okay?
What a struggle.
A couple of the top ranking hotels closed their doors.
Wow.
They didn't want those bookings. So that's it. Look, you know, that's what we were up against.
Wow.
And then came Mr. Marley.
Yeah.
And then they all learned
their lesson. Okay, Ronnie.
Okay, what happened?
Ronnie,
here?
No. Don't tell us what happened yet. We're going to take a break in 40 seconds. And when we come back, we want to talk about when Robert Nesta Marley did Reggae Sunsplash. What was it like then? Grab a cup of tea, Ronnie. We're going to take a 3-minute break. Leave the line open when we come back. But Anthony, just think about what Ronnie Burke just said, you know. Hertz Rent-A-Car Company closed down their fleet, locked down their fleet. Hotels in Montego Bay and the surrounding areas closed. They didn't want these kind of people. Anthony, you hear that?
Well, the fact is that a lot of people don't realize that the whole Negro 7 Mile trip really started because of white college students who were flocking to Jamaica to get a piece of the marijuana.
And reggae music. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to continue with Mr. Ronnie Burke, the Order of Distinction, one of the founding member of Reggae Sounds Flash. Stay where you are. It's Reggae Month.
This is Max Supreme.
This is Mikey Spice.
Listen, Ascencia.
I sing a melody representing
blessed love and honor. This is Janine.
Yo, this is Bunchy Garland, all the way from Trinidad and Tobago.
We're grooving on the radio. The Rasslem, keep it locked. I can't say that.
Accepting our award for to be part of our Broadway cast includes dinner every evening at any 5-star Manhattan restaurant.
Thank you, but no thank you. When I'm in New York, I only eat at the door.
Have you ever eaten at any 5-star Manhattan restaurant?
Huh? 5-star or 5 trillion star. Me uncle niam at the door.
The door.
The door.
The door. The door. Elegance. Fine dining. Our professional staff is here to serve you.
And most importantly, great Jamaican foods. For elegant dining and authentic Jamaican food.
It's powerful, it's informative, it's educational with lots of thought-provoking conversations. Yes, it's Groovin' Radio, Saturday morning 9 to 11:30 and Sunday evening 6 to 8. Right here on 93.5 WVIP, hosted by Ross Klemm. Join the Groovin' Radio experience and stay one step ahead.
Groovin', jamming to the radio. Yo, this is Jack Critique singing tune to Groovin' Radio. You got it? Groovin' Radio on the mic check with your host, Ras Klemm. Remember I told you?
And thank Thank you. Thank you very much, my good friend, Mr. Jack Radix, for bringing us up for the final 26 minutes of our Grooving Radio's presentation this Saturday morning. It is Black History Month. It is also Reggae Month, and we're kicking off our Reggae Month presentation with no other than Mr. Ronnie Burke, the Order of Distinction, one of the founding member of the largest, yes, the largest reggae festival of its kind in the world, in the history of reggae music, Reggae Sunsplash. Yes, Reggae Sunsplash really started out with 40 cases of Red Stripe beer. What a day, as we welcome Mr. Ronnie Burke back. Anthony Turner is also a part of the conversation. Welcome back, Ronnie Burke.
Yeah, man, give time.
With no sponsorship, with only 40 cases of Red Stripe beer, a promise from the Jamaica Tourist Board that they'll bring in 2,000 foreigners, then they took it down to 1,000, and they only delivered 23. And then to go and says, there is a flyer out there that says this is the largest reggae festival in the world. And have Robert Nesta Marley said, come here, Ronnie. Come here, sir. Come talk to me. This can't be the largest festival in the world because me not depend it. Hence, Robert Nesta Marley. As a matter of fact, he's celebrating a birthday on the 6th. And you also had Dennis Emmanuel Brown played Reggae Sunsplash. He celebrated a birthday this past week. What was it like, Ronnie Burke, having the king of reggae, Robert Nesta Marley, played Reggae Sunsplash?
Well, a quick backtrack. I want to give credit to Burl Francis for coming up with the name Reggae Sunsplash. She's the lady who named the festival. Mr. Marley. What was interesting was the hotel learned a very harsh lesson. The minute he was announced, they got bookings in excess of 100%. And they were caught flat-footed. Their staff had been laid off. They had no supplies. So there was an emergency. If you, the road from Kingston to Montegale was filled with supply trucks. Kennedy's and then Kennedy's and Brighton and even, I mean, it was panic, you know? We had to help. We had to jump in our vehicles and drive hotel managers around to knock on the doors of laid off staff and tell them to find their tails back to work quick. You know? Panic. And they didn't cope very well with it because every single hotel was booked out. People were sleeping on the beach. People were sleeping in the airport in Miami trying to get a flight to Montego Bay to see Robert Nesta Marley.
Wow.
It was sensational. Negril was sold out. Holiday Bay was sold out. Falmouth was sold out. It was unbelievable. And the night that he performed was one of the biggest challenges. Was the biggest challenge that we had had. I mean, look, we had people pouring over the walls. Remember, now, you know, we're in Jared Park, you know, we're in a cricket ground that, you know, it's certainly not a concert venue. We had to make it a concert venue with its, you know,
right,
walls that were scalable, and it was just, I mean, just imagine us. We're not seasoned promoters. We have never done this before. We just had to just rely on you know, binding ourselves together and facing all the challenges at the same time. But this night, I'm telling you, was sensational.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
It was as much, as many people as Jared Park could hold, you know. And the power of the man was phenomenal, you know.
Wow.
And that really put Sunsplash firmly on the map. Now, people came from, I mean, I don't know what part of the world people didn't come from, Shimad.
They showed up.
You name it. They were there.
Anthony, you know? Go ahead.
Yeah. But Ronnie, after that magnificent performance of the Honorable Robert Nesta Marley and the, you know, all of the marketing that his announcement made, then in 1982 there was another major superstar in the form of Mr. Stevie Wonder. he appeared at the festival. And that year, the festival was actually paying tribute to Bob Marley, who had died in 1981. And I'm told that Stevie was joined by Third World and Rita Marley, and they performed Master Blaster and Redemption Song. Talk to us about that performance, and because it really brought a coming together, Stevie and Third World, who, you know, helped to create this Treasure Love song that was, it's probably one of their biggest song to date.
Okay, well, let me back up and give you a little history as to how that came up. Remember now that in 1979, we had sold out the North Coast. I mean, it was the hotel's greatest dream. It was higher occupancy than their peak winter. Okay. Then we moved to 1980, when there was an election and war in Jamaica. You all remember that? Jamaica was Americans put out very strong notices, do not visit Jamaica. The UK did the same thing. Jamaica was just a place, forget about it. They are at war. They had 900 murders in that time, over that election. So we are now kind of stranded because, hey, we have no Montego Bay is dead. What are we going to do with Sunsplash? You know, and we said, well, let's just skip it and play it out. And the tourist board now, having licked their chops, are saying, no, we have to continue it. The continuity is important. We said, but how are we going to continue it? We can't go to Montego Bay. They say, yeah, we agree, but you still have to do it. I said, well, we're going to do it. I'm so we have to do it in Kingston. I said, Kingston has no venue. And my brother, before I even go one step further, today, as we speak, Kingston has no venue.
Right.
The home and birthplace of reggae music has no venue.
Wow.
Okay? So people are pretty going to say, and? Okay. So, here we are now. And they say, well, let's go to Randy Williams Center. So, what Randy Williams Center? Well, 5,000 people. How is that going to pay for the production and of Sunsplash? And I said, well, we have to do it, so we will help. And they advanced us 170,000 Jamaican seed money. And again, with the cooperation of the artists and those who provide sound, and especially people like Paul Doyle, who really bent over backwards to help us out with all their fun. And so we did it. It was a financial disaster, which we always knew it was going to be. And the government wanted back the $170,000 from us.
What?
In fact, this went into court.
Wow.
And squashed it. Okay. So here we are now. 1981 now. And we want to go back to Montego Bay. Because, you know, everything has cooled out. Hotels are open again. And we're going back to Montego Bay. To the government. See? And we say, look, we need some help here to get on our feet again, to get back to Montego Bay. And she said, okay, she will go to the Prime Minister, Mr. Siaga. And he turned us down flat. He said, no, he's not interested. He can't help
me. Wow. And a man.
And then you know what happened after that? Bob died.
Wow.
And when Bob died, they got the bright idea, whoa, well, let's do this. Tribute to Bob. Okay? We will get Synergy to produce it. And we will finance it. And Synergy will get 10% of Reggae Sunsplash. And they will keep 90%.
Wow. Wow. No. This is the same government who took you guys to court. Because they wanted back their $170,000.
That's correct.
This is the same government that witnessed when Robert Nesta Marley played Reggae Sunsplash in Montego Bay. What kind of impact it had. and they still did not have the vision. They still did not have the vision, Mr. Ronnie Burke, to support the music. And now, think about this. Because in Edward Seaga's last book that he wrote, Anthony, and when we interviewed him, he prided himself as the man who brought vinyl to Jamaica. He's a man that believed in the music. So did former Prime Minister and the longest serving Prime Minister in Jamaica, P.J. Patterson. He once managed the Scatterlites. So how is it we had these people in politics and they didn't love and understand the music, or so it seems, because it wasn't reflective of what they think Jamaicans should be? Because it's Rasta music and all of them thing, the ganja smoking thing, Ronnie Burke?
But tell us more, Ronnie. I'm interested to hear how this 82 concert evolved.
With the intervention of Tom Tabard Simpson, who was a friend of ours, and also the JLP, he strong-armed them into giving us a promise of 20% instead of 10%. And we would do all the production work for $45,000 Jamaican dollars.
Wow.
We now decided that, okay, for us to keep some special lives, we will tour in the towel and we will do it, which we did. That's how they got people like Stevie and stuff like that.
Wow.
So,
wow.
At the end of the day, we said to the government, okay, can you give us a financial statement so we will know where we stand at our 20%? Now, bear in mind, you know, Elektra Records came in, paid $130,000 on the rights to record
the concert
and release a double album called Reggae Sunsplash.
Wow.
So, in addition to what the sponsors did, because I think DMG basically financed it, Red Stripe, basically, you know. And so we said, okay, well, give us all 20% because, you know, we know that some nice money came in. And we got a statement that had, was so padded with expenses not related to the project. It was sad.
Wow.
There were expenses for the Ronnie Williams Center in Montego Bay. And we're seeing bills to Ronnie Williams Center from JPS. So it was a disaster. And we gave it back to them. I said, look, forget this. You know, give us a true statement so we can know if what there is for us.
Right.
So, to this day, we have not got that statement or a single dollar from them.
Wow. What an embarrassment. What an embarrassment. But one good thing may have came out of it, though, Ronnie. You guys got to keep Reggae Sunsplash alive, huh?
Well, here what happened, though. We decided that the next year, we are going to go back on our own.
And go to Montego Bay.
And the government said, no. You can't do it without us. And we said, yes, we will do it without you. And the Minister of Culture, Mr. Bartlett, told us that Sunsplash would not happen unless they were a part of it.
Wow.
And we were the fans. Tony Johnson especially was the fan. And so we went out on our own. And the next thing we faced was a total lockdown because of, I think it was polio. It was a polio epidemic. Came out of nowhere.
Right.
And the government shut down all the independent celebrations and we were left there hanging.
Wow.
Because we couldn't stop our promotion. And, I mean, we were totally public enemy number one on the radio programs and all these commercial promoters and in the face of this crisis, blah, blah, blah. And in the same time, Mr. Seaga's government is saying to us, hey, don't stop promoting, you know, because if you shut down this thing, the winter season will die. So you're right.
So you're caught between a rock and a hard place.
Yes.
Wow.
Sabatis is determined to make sure we can't do it. And this is because when you really look back on it, you know, where was that epidemic? What happened to it?
It,
you know what I mean?
Right. With the limited time we have left, though, Ronnie, all in all, when you look back on, and I hope promoters heard this morning, Anthony, how the largest reggae festival on earth, how it got started. And I know we had Maxine Walters on in the past, and I know we had Don Green on in the past, but to hear another perspective, because this is now the first time we're hearing the fight and the challenges that came when you have one minister over here saying shut it down, and you have the Edward Siaga on the other side, the Prime Minister, saying no, you can't shut it down because it is going to kill the winter season. But then the team had to be working on the fact that them never get any money from the year before when Stevie Wonder came to Jamaica. So, Ronnie, when you look back on it now and you look on the impact that reggae music have had and is having on the world, and you look back at the journey of Reggae Sunsplash and everything that followed, what are your thoughts?
I look back on what we achieved with a lot of press. Yes, there was also the very bright. We toured in this, we toured in the United States. We did 44 cities at a time, you know? And we did it by packaging artists. We have a third world plus a Papa San, and we packaged them, you know? We did two Sunsplashes in London, totally sold out. 26,000 people. We were denied a return of that festival because of the infrastructure of the park that we were in, you know, and the neighbors complaining about the crowd and that. So we went to Clapham Common and did a free show, and the government's estimate there. The UK government estimated that 250,000 people came out. And it was chaos. They had to bring out mounted police, they had to bring out helicopters, they had to shut down the train station and say, no. Can't take back you guys. You guys are banned. You have to understand the power of reggae music that we were demonstrating. I mean, not to our benefit, because all of it is broke, you know, but, you know, we hung in there, and it came from the heart. And the thing about looking back at Sunsplash was we are happy that we were able to show all aspects of Jamaican music. From Rasta culture, as Michael and the Sons of Negus, to bringing back vintage artists, even flying some of them from London, you know, because people would say to us, why are you going to spend so much money on vintage artists? You're not going to get the crowd. I said, but it's because of these guys that are even here today talking indeed. About what they're doing.
Indeed.
Cannot leave them out.
Indeed.
And so we presented the entire spectrum of Jamaican musical culture. That's not what's happening today in today's festival. Today's festivals are commercial.
Yeah.
I'm not blaming anybody, I'm not saying anything, you know? And I'm quite proud of what we did. We took reggae music to the world. I mean, we sold out in Japan, you know? We took it out around the world, you know? And many artists today give songs to us for where they are.
Well, we have to give kudos to Reggae Sunsplash as promoters ourselves for grooving in the park. And, you know, when we look back on Reggae Sunsplash and what is as offered to us as promoters, what is offered to promoters around the world, you just mentioned Japan. And you have to give it up to people like Mighty Crown, who they're now having the largest reggae festival in Japan as we speak, Anthony Turner. And many festivals has followed suit. Followed in the footstep of Reggae Sunsplash, but I tell you though, it was refreshing. It was very enlightening, Mr. Ronnie Burke, hearing your perspective this morning, and we heard Maxine Walters' perspective, we heard Don Green's perspective, but I tell you, you shared some more this morning that we have never heard on the radio before. I still want to know what happened to those three drunken men who was watching the radio.
Ha 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 ha!
and really,
let me tell you something.
Real quick,
they woke up. And we were distributing our staff shirts. And you know what? Those guys wore those shirts for the next year.
Wow.
Not only them, you know.
Yeah. Everybody.
They identified a level in Muscadet of people who would not get employed anywhere else. And they wore those synergy shirts. Rugs. We're quite proud of what we do.
Well, Ronnie, did you Anthony, guys ever get any royalties for giving Jamaica a summer tour season from the Jamaica Tourist Board?
That's for another program. That's for another program. We only have 4 minutes to go. But yes or no, did you guys get anything?
No.
Wow.
Not at all. And as I said to you, up to today, we have not received a statement for that 1981 Stevie Wonder list.
Yeah.
And we are thankful to the Marlies.
You know, Ronnie, as we kick off this Reggae Month presentation, I really think you need to come back. You know, you probably need to come back to wrap up Reggae Month with us here on Grooving Radio at the end of the month.
It's my pleasure, man.
And thank you so much. It was a pleasure sitting down with you recently in Jamaica for hours. You and your lovely wife and Maxine Walters and Andrea and the team. I overjoyed. I full joy the conversation, and I'm pleased this morning to present you as our first mic check guest in Reggae Month. But we have to bring you back, Ronnie Burke, because boy, we need to talk about where did the money go? Where did all the money go? Who caught the game? Mr. Ronnie Burke, our very special guest. Ronnie, you're going to have to come back to wrap up our Reggae Month presentation at the end of the month.
Anytime, so, man. Just give me a show.
Yes,
it was
man.
A pleasure talking to you both.
It was a pleasure
and
having
thank you.
Thank
you very much for the chance to sound off.
Indeed.
All right, Ronnie.
You're so welcome. Man. One love, Ronnie. One love. Anthony, we're going to have to wrap and make room for the next presentation. But boy, what a refreshing conversation to hear some of these.
I mean, I know a lot about Reggae Sunsplash, but boy, this is an eye-opener in many, many ways.
Anthony, the government didn't give the man them a dime after they brought Stevie Wonder to Jamaica? Huh? We're going to have to talk about that later on, Anthony. Please, later. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're at the end of our presentation, waiting on the other side of the 11:30 hour. It is going to be the Wake Up Radio team. Irie Jam team comes in at 1. My brother DJ Roy kicks off around 3 p.m. this evening. Link Up is going to be at 6 p.m. Soundchat Radio at 8 p.m. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Rasklem. Contributing to our presentation this Saturday morning, we got to go back to our musical presentation, the music of Mr. Barrington Levy. In our community engagement segment, the new president of the Jamaica Organization of New Jersey, Essex County Chapter, Miss Tanisha Malcolm Wint, joined us this morning. We got news courtesy of the Jamaica Gleaner, Jamaica Now with Mr. Joe Von Johnson. Anthony Turner joined us for Entertainment Report, and he provided the bio for our very special mic check guest, one of the founding members of Reggae Sound Splash, Mr. Ronnie Burke. Waiting on the other side of the 11:30 hour, it is going to be the Wake Up Radio team. Good morning, Debo. Hope all is well.